Special show today talking about how to turn adversity to opportunity. Believe it or not, when the market sucks, that is when you often have the greatest opportunity. You are also faced with the greatest amount of fear. How do you overcome that fear? That is a big topic for today's show. We have with us in studio two members of the community, which I'm privileged to have here. First, we have Howie Outerbridge. He is a director of career services at UBC, 10 years experience in the industry, and he is passionate about ensuring and offering high impact career programming to students. So why we have him in studio, it's very clear. We want to access what programming is he is offering to students to ensure that they're successful. We also have a gentleman by the name of AJ Vickery. AJ Vickery has a colored pass. Currently, he is host for Get Connected at CKNW since 2004. I like his bio, talks about his expertise and his passion for all things technical. He also had an opportunity to build two large businesses, which I can see online. First off, he was a developer and founder. He was the founder and later the vice president of Chalk Media Group, ended up selling that to Research in Motion for roughly $25 million, and then went on to co-found a media group entitled Blink Media Group. And so the reason why we wanted to have AJ in studio here was to share with him how he has been able to continuously grow his business during a downtime. Also, he hires people, and we want to find out how he does that. And in the end, it's also very important to remember that whether or not you are an entrepreneur, you will learn entrepreneurial components or techniques today that you can apply in your life so that you rise above the rest and you have self-expression in the work. So, gentlemen, nice to have you here. Okay, good. So my first question I want to ask Howie. Howie, in your bio, you talk about high-impact programming. Can you tell me what is the type of programming you are seeing now that is having the greatest impact on students' lives so that our listener can say, okay, that's the high-impact programming. I want to apply that in my life.
Definitely, Philippe. It's a great question. High-impact programming, I wish I could take credit for the concept, but this is something that has come out of the brain of a gentleman named George Kuh, who is an expert in student development, student engagement. So what he and his team has done is they've come up with a list of experiences that research has shown are high impact in their development. For example, if you look at the work study program that we're rolling out of the UBC Career Services office, a lot of the opportunities involve working for faculty members. So this is an example of a high impact program is one that involves direct contact with faculty members.
Okay, so for example, for those listening out there, if you are a student, it's a no-brainer. You want to get involved in work-study programming. I understand you're expanding that program, and so there's opportunities there. And also, if you're not a student, let's say you're father of someone who's going to be going to university, and encourage them to discuss the value of student programming. So good. Anything else that comes to mind in terms of high-impact programming that you're working on, or what are you excited about moving forward in terms of your programming that you anticipate is going to have a high impact on students' lives?
Yeah, another really good example, and perhaps AJ as a UBC alum can jump in here, but one of the other high-impact experiences has to do with experiences where you're actually practicing those skills as you're going to school. So programs like community service learning, internships, co-op programs are classic examples of this, as well as being the executive in a student club. So I'll just maybe AJ can jump in at this point and talk about his experience as a student here at UBC and what those high-impact experiences were.
Yeah, well, there's definitely no question that when I went to school here at UBC, we're on the economics club, and I was actually part of that group. And just getting involved in the community of the student body and being able to really have, you talked about entrepreneurialism and how important that is as a quality. It's been a huge part of my life. I've been an entrepreneur pretty much my whole life, and that dates back to my university days, where literally we put on activities, we put on beer gardens, we did all sorts of things, and we had goals to achieve, and we did those as a group, and it was an incredible experience for us, and that went beyond just what happens in the classroom.
AJ, I'd like to touch on that. I was reading your bio, the word passion came through a lot. Can you tell me, how did you discover your passion? And secondly, probably more importantly for this show, is how did you turn a passion into earning money?
Yeah. Well, I think that you know, that one of the core values inside of my current company, which is called Blink Media Works, is entrepreneurialism. At every level in our organization, we really stress that. And that's a difficult thing to do, especially as a company grows, because the bigger the company gets, the more difficult it is for any one person to have that sort of entrepreneurial spirit. But, you know, we do that through encouraging people to make their own mistakes and ultimately feel empowered to make a decision that they think is going to make the company better. You know,
No,
I was going to say that, so for me, it started early on. And, you know, even within university, but certainly even in before I was starting my own businesses, when I was working for companies, you know, my job just didn't end at 5 o'clock. And it's the same as being a student. I think being a student really is the ultimate in entrepreneurial, because who's the boss? Is it the instructors? You know, is it the institution? It's really the individual. You know, you've come here, you're paying for your education. It's up to you whether you go to class or not. It's up to you whether how much effort you put into a particular paper, research, or even preparation for an exam. And I think that that really, for me, the passion of that entrepreneurship came while I was here at the university.
One of the things I heard you say about the value of being an entrepreneur is willing to take and make mistakes. And often, if there's this expression out there that says every master was once a disaster. And unfortunately, we don't learn unless sometimes we do make mistakes. I want to revert back to Howie. Howie, I want to ask you, how would you encourage an individual to consciously make a mistake? Like most people say, well, I don't want to make a mistake. And so the alternative is to be paralyzed in indecision. And I see that a lot when I work with individuals. So it is better to make a decision and make a mistake than to not make a decision. And obviously, you're not going to make a mistake, but you're not going to make a decision. So what are some maybe fearful recommendations you would have for individuals you work with, students, that may result in mistakes, but in the end will pay off in the long run, as AJ was talking about?
Yeah. One of the things I think that students need to consider is that this is the time to make those mistakes. So let's contrast two people. One is a student who's making cold calls, looking to do information interviews with companies, it might be tech companies, a company like AJ's. You know, they pick up the phone and the first thing they say is, I'm a student, I'm looking to get more information. Right away, non-threatening, we're okay. As soon as you graduate and you start making the same phone calls, you're unemployed, looking for work, and that's people can be quite uncomfortable with that. So out of our office and many offices across campus, you'll find these events that are sponsored that give you unprecedented opportunities to network with key people in the community. And these are things that when you graduate are really hard to find and get into. And in fact, you'll find that they're actually, they're not only they're hard to find, but they're really expensive as well. Mm-hmm. So this is the time, again, to encourage students and even new alum, I think, to play around, find something that you're interested in. And it can be, it could be anything from, I don't know, technology to art to photography, and try to use the university as a way to leverage those connections with the what's going on out there.
You know, just to tap into that too, Howie, there's no question that that referrals in business is one of the key things for employers. You know, there's nothing better than knowing that you have made a good hiring decision, and that if that person knows people or has worked with people that they can also recommend, it's a huge advantage. So, you know, just take that back to your intern situation. If you've had the opportunity to get to know an individual and really see their ability and work ethic, it makes the decision so much easier when considering them for a full-time role.
Yeah. Just if I can jump in with another example as well, you know, for art students, there's the stigma around, okay, so I'm an art student, I'm not really sure what's out there for me. Well, you know, the university worked to put on this massive event called Arts Career Expo, which connected, there were over 500 art students that showed up for this event, but connected them to some very, some big names in the Vancouver community. And AJ, you know, AJ is AJ. We know him. We love him. He's, you know, hard to get a hold of. It's funny when I hear AJ tell stories about people that are calling for information interviews. Time is money. So he's probably going to do maybe one or two a month. Whereas Arts Career Expo, AJ was an actual speaker at this event and probably chatted with 50 students that night. So just going back to the idea of take advantage. The university is working for you to prepare you for a fulfilling career. take advantage of those opportunities.
So it's clear that the risk of reaching out to the business community while you are a student is less than when you have left the university. And AJ, I want to tie into that is, of course, you're approached by many individuals to your organization, whether they're at university or not. And the subject here is taking risks. Has anyone, whether they're at school or having graduated, approached your organization in a way, maybe taken a risk to maybe network with your organization, network with you, where you've seen it maybe not work, and maybe a more effective way that it has worked in your experience?
Yeah, well, I would say that I think that one thing that people need to do is don't be afraid to be persistent. And I'm probably one of the most persistent people that you're ever going to come across. You know, we do business in my company. We actually create advertising for some of the biggest technology companies in Canada and the US. And when I try to call up the guys at Microsoft or Hewlett Packard, you know, literally, I got to call them every single day, you know, over and over and over again. And they never return my phone call. And at some point, they're going to accidentally answer the phone, and I'm going to be there. And they're going to be like, oh, man, it's AJ. Call him back. And we just answered the phone. But you know what? I don't hold them prisoner to that. I'm like, hey, yo, I'm glad. And they're like, oh, sorry that we haven't been able to get back to you. I'm like, no problem at all. You're not, because I'm ultimately trying to win their business. And I would just kind of draw that example back to looking for employment. You know, I don't think that anybody should be afraid of being persistent when wanting to get that job, especially with, you know, if you send in that resume via email or even the post, you don't necessarily know that anyone's ever looked at it. There's no magic formula that actually shows you that they've opened it up and read it and shared it with a few different people and considered it. It could be lost in space. Mm. So that's what I would say is don't be afraid to be persistent, because those people that only make the one attempt, I would say that's where you fail. You know, but ultimately, if you keep coming back to me, you might give me a reason to think, you know what, maybe I should try this person. They definitely have the passion. They definitely want this. You know, and, you know, don't get aggressive or don't get your feelings hurt. Always be ready to just be like, hey, no problem. I just wanted to make sure I could get a hold of you and let you know that I'm here.
I want to talk more about that after the break. I want to address the question of being persistent but not pissing off the employer. AJ, you've learned the fine line. I wish to pass a message on to the listener about how they can do that, and also in Howie's experience, how does he teach individuals to approach organizations? You talked about cold calling. Sometimes that's required. If you don't find the job posting you're looking for, or you've done all the network you can and you need some cash and you want to find something you love, really cold calling can be a way of doing it, and it sounds like AJ's done it. I want to explore that a little after the break. All right, you're listening to Career Fast Track on 101.9 FM in Vancouver or online at www.citr.ca. If you haven't been online already, check it out. We have our podcasted shows every Monday morning as well. You can check me out in 24 hours. We have our career column back after the break with our two guests. Don't go away.
Another night's work well done. And so easy without that nuisance Spider-Man.
I didn't know you cared.
You!
Yes, Electro, and I'm going to short-circuit you once and for all.
You would have been better off in the hands of the police. You are no match for my power.
It takes more than power to win. It takes brains and knowing your enemy.
I'll pit my power against your brains any day. What was that?
That, my thieving fiend, is the result of brains.
Use your brain. Turn off all the lights when you leave a room. If every household in BC turned off one light bulb for 4 hours a day for 1 year, it would save enough electricity to power all the homes in Mission for an entire year. This Power Smart Play brought to you by BC Hydro Power Smart and CITR 101.9 FM.
Welcome back to Career Fast Track. I'm your host, Philippe Desrochers, also known in the business as Dr. Career. It's good to have you back. We are here with our two guests, AJ and Howie. They are representing one. Howie's representing the Director of Career Services at UBC, and AJ has an opportunity to have a show. He's on CKNW, Get Connected, since 2004. Also experienced in business, hiring, and building new businesses. Okay, before the break, I talked about being persistent. Let me turn this over to Howie. Howie, how does a student persistently pursue an employer and not piss them off at the same time?
Well, I think that there are a number of ways to do this. We've talked about a few of the key tools that you'd need on the show already. AJ mentioned the idea of calling repeatedly. I heard actually an interesting tip from a interesting job title, Director Hot Destinations Intra-West. And what this gentleman would do is he would call when he knew the employer wasn't there. So he'd call Sunday night, 10 p.m., and he'd leave a voicemail saying, "Hi there, it's so-and-so. Just wanted to let you know that I've sent in an application for your position. I think there's a great fit between this piece that you're looking for and my qualifications." So that's, you know, one trick that you can use. I think also looking for a variety of means to connect with the person that you want to connect with. So, you know, Google is a powerful tool. Find out where they're going to be speaking. Is there a professional development session that this individual or reps from the company will be attending? And then just slowly work it in. Now, I do want to caution our listeners, because I think that you have to consider the nature of the industry. AJ's talking about sales. So the nature of the person that people would be attracted to that that industry would be people that, you know, AJ is looking for people that are salespeople. So if you're not demonstrating commitment, persistence, perhaps a little bit of assertiveness in your manner, then you're not going to make the call, the cut. Sorry. If you are an art student or a philosophy grad looking for a position with a think tank or a book publishing firm, perhaps, you know, try to match your approach with the qualifications of the industry.
Well, I want to kind of lead in with to AJ around the question. I've worked with professionals for about 3 years, and it was interesting how I worked with architects, engineers, and the most reserved accountants in the world. And when we put them on the phone, it's amazing what happens. And I would agree with you, Howie, that it's important to remember the audience you're speaking to. And it's also, I think, important to sometimes just pick up the phone. So AJ, it sounds like you do that. And how do you do it successfully?
Well, I think that there's one thing, and anyone who's ever been a guest on a radio station could identify with it, because you get nervous, right? Before you have to actually speak to someone, you get nervous. Because how do you create a relationship with somebody that you've never met, have them pick up the phone and say hello, and they're going to say, "Well, what do you want?" And you've got your like 15 seconds to be able to sort of establish that relationship with them. And it can be pretty nerve-wracking. I honestly think that the most success that you're going to have is that if you kind of just realize that you do have nothing to lose. And how do you establish that criteria for someone that you have nothing to lose? You know, ultimately call up that person and don't be afraid. Like, what's the worst that's going to happen? Are they honestly, is the president of any company that you get through to honestly going to say, "Don't ever call me again"? I don't think it's going to happen, because you know what? I know lots of people in senior positions at many different companies, and ultimately, every single person is very respectful, and ultimately, they're going to listen to what you have to say. And we, as entrepreneurs, look for that spirit in people and to say, "Hey, you know what? I'm going to pass you on." And that's one thing I was going to say is go high. Like, don't just try to get into the assistant hiring director or the, you know, go high, shoot high, ask for the president. Because at the end of the day, if that president says, "Listen, I'm going to pass you on to somebody, her name's Eleanor or his name's John, and talk to them, this is the person you want to talk to," your second phone call is, "Hi, John, Jerry just told me to give you a call," right? All of a sudden, you've got that referral now, right? And he doesn't know if you're Jerry's cousin, or he doesn't know what your relationship is with the president of his company. But one thing he does know, he better listen.
Yeah, it's funny when you're saying your story. I'm reminded of an individual I work with. She's from the Philippines, recently arrived to Vancouver, and she's wanted to be an engineer. And she called one of the largest engineering companies in the city, and we trained her how to call the president. And she was completely uncomfortable, and it was very awkward. Amazingly, she booked a meeting. President says no. She gets in the elevators, walking down, tells her pitch as well to the VP. VP leaves on the floor below, goes back up, tells the president, no kidding, an hour later she gets a call from the president saying, "I spoke to the VP." So it's funny how things work. So yes, often there's value in that. By the way, I was speaking to these two gentlemen here before during the break, and they were saying, "We want to take phone calls, so if you're so inclined and inspired to give us a call, do so." They're addressing questions around the subject of turning adversity to opportunity. If you are stuck in your career and looking for strategies to get out, we have a professional from a career service center. We also have an individual who has built their own businesses and found success in building that. So looking at opportunities, even in the face of adversity, give us a call. Our number is 604-822-2487. 604-822-2487. 800-822-2487. Give us a call throughout the show. We'll see if we can take it as we go through. Recently, I wrote, actually was very fortunate to meet with the president of, or the CEO of 1-800-GOT-JUNK, and he identified some of the key components to being an entrepreneur. And he, for him, he's been successful in building a multi-million dollar business. I'd like to transfer these skill sets to the job seeker, and I'd like your opinions on this. First thing is having a clear vision. Let me ask you, Howie, how does a student have a clear vision of what they want if they don't know what they want?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think one of the things is by attending as many, exposing yourself to as many opportunities as possible. And there's a lot of really interesting work that's writing, actually, that's been done on this concept of planned happenstance by a gentleman named John Krumbholz, who essentially he's saying in his writing and his theory that if you stay at home and don't make an effort to get out there and meet people, whether it's through the internet or through the telephone or through face-to-face interactions, you're turning down life's opportunities that might be presenting themselves to you. And I think if you ask someone like AJ, who is a successful businessman, how did these sales opportunities happen, and how did you meet the right people that you needed to meet? Chances are that some of the things were planned, as in I called the company and set up a meeting. But there's a huge percentage, I would guess, that were just by accident. I was standing in Las Vegas at the Consumer Electronics Show and happened to be standing next to the VP of Panasonic, and great things happened.
That's a great question. Actually, AJ, I'm curious to know, how has it happened for you in finding your success and your opportunities?
Referrals, relationships, and definitely attending the events. You have to be out there. You have to be talking to people. You know, it really helps when there's a common factor when you're building a relationship with somebody. If you've been to an event that they've been to and you can quickly touch base on that, then that is huge, because it gets rid of that dead space in terms of air that sometimes you have nothing to talk about. So I would definitely say be active in getting out to some of these events. And you know what? If you can't travel, I mean, in my business, I travel to events all over the U.S. and in Canada. But, you know, from a student perspective, there's so many things going on, probably even at the university. But even beyond that, you know, down in the downtown area, there's lots of interest groups putting on all sorts of different types of events. And you get to those events and you'll start meeting a lot of people and start building a lot of connections.
AJ, you're very busy building two businesses like this. Obviously, you've faced adversity, fear, doubt, all the human emotions. How do you develop a strong enough vision that can take you through the doubt?
It's will. You have to have a strong will. I would say that's probably one of the most important things, is that you have to believe that you can do it. And ultimately, it starts there. In my opinion, as an entrepreneur, you have to believe that you can do it. And then you can start to build a plan. You know, it's so important, and Howie definitely can talk to this, but it's so important to not just set a goal. I mean, we all talk about setting goals. You know, I want to be a millionaire by the time I'm 30. It doesn't mean anything. You know, if you want to set that goal, if you want to be a millionaire by the time you're 30 or by the time you're 20, you have to work backwards from that. You know, you have to sort of set, interim goals and sort of build a plan. And then you can't just forget about that plan. You have to go back to it and you have to look at it and you have to say, hey, you know what? I'm on track. Or you have to look at it and say, I'm off track, but I like the direction I'm going, so I'm going to change my plan. You know, if you don't do those things, you'll never achieve those goals that you set.
It's clear to me there's a level of confidence, AJ, in the way you communicate. And I have a lot of subjects I'd like to cover here, but I would like to address the question or the issue of confidence to Howie. Howie, how can a student keep their confidence? Because when you start reaching out into the business community, you need a certain level of confidence. So how have you seen a student, for example, go from a lack of confidence to confidence? And what was it that they did to gain that confidence?
Right. I think an easy place to start, again, if we look at the typical university student, is to find something that you're interested in and that maybe there's a natural aptitude for. So, you know, I was reviewing resumes today, actually, for a co-op position that we're hiring for. And one of the things that jumped out off a resume was the passion for badminton. So this is a candidate, and I don't know if they're listening, but a candidate that had become involved with the UBC Badminton Club and had eventually become the president of this club. So I think it's through skills or through these activities that you have that you like, that you're good at, that you develop the confidence that can be projected over into the next, perhaps, the next occupation that might not be as familiar. So I think it's the repetition that can really help build those skills.
What you remind me of is this idea of there's two very important parts to getting everything you want in your career. Number one is making a decision to go after what you love. That is supposed to be an easy decision where you follow the patterns in your life, and it's like water going down a mountain. If it sees a rock, it doesn't try to climb it. It goes around it. So from a career decision-making point of view, you must follow the natural patterns. It's called instinct, and that's what Howie's talking about. But once you make your choice, then, like AJ's talking about, you got to climb the rock. He's got to make the phone calls, the tough calls. So choosing is the easy part. Going after what you want, that's where the vision has to be very, very clear. We don't have much time here, but I really want to address this issue of Brian Scudamore talked about the value of hiring great people. Okay, got it. So my question to you, AJ, is let's say someone's listening out there, how can they be that great person that an employer wants to hire? What do you look for, and what makes someone great?
Well, we've been always looking for people, and one of the things I encourage at every level of our team when they're making the hiring decisions is, hire someone that you think is better than yourself. And that's a really difficult thing to try to train your management to do, because if you think about it, some people who might want to hire someone that isn't better than them for fear of losing their job. But we really do encourage people, hire someone better than you, because at the end of the day, it's going to make you so much more successful. I think that at looking at those candidates, it is a difficult thing through that interview process, but we're looking for people that have the same core values as we do in our company, and we'll share those with the people that are interviewing. And experience, whether it's paid experience or intern experience, we're looking for people who really know and have had success with what they've done in the past.
Mm, very good. That's very clear. I like how you talked about hiring for someone who's better than you. My goodness, I can imagine how many would be afraid of. And so I guess for you, if you're looking to approach a company, remind yourself that if you're good, that's great. And many confident managers want someone who's great at what they do. Howie, how do you address that issue of ensuring that the students you work with are great people?
Mm. Yeah, I think, there's, AJ, it's great to have this perspective, because this is something that that you don't get that often. The outside successful entrepreneur talking about what he's looking for in new hires. I think there's a lot of things that we talk about. We talk about relevant work experience being key. We talk about being able to look at a resume and see that the candidate hasn't just been sitting at home playing World of Warcraft. There's a range of skills and abilities that have been developed through volunteering, through taking coursework, through taking on extra responsibility. And these are things that any undergraduate student can do. On that note, I just want to back up one thing. For people that are listening, you're only going to have one chance to sit down in front of someone like AJ and sell your skills and abilities. So a very, very important part about actually securing employment is the preparation and the planning that goes in before you actually have that face-to-face interaction or dialogue. AJ is going to want to hire people, and again, jump in if I'm going down the wrong path here, but that might have a good idea of the industry that your company is in, the key skills that you're looking for. They're going to make a point of highlighting experiences that they've had to help you connect the dots. And probably because a lot of the work that your people do age, it's a close-knit group, the interpersonal skills are going to be critical there. So I would just, before you have an opportunity to sit down with somebody, especially in today's job market, do your research and prepare for the opportunity.
And don't be worried about making a wrong assumption, because we know that you don't know our business. So the fact that you're making an effort to understand it is fantastic.
Mm. Often putting in the effort, but not necessarily having the right answer, but putting in the effort. I hear that a lot. We're about out of time, but I would like to ask my last question, which I'm excited to hear. I'd like, if you could say it in a minimum or a maximum of two sentences, I'll challenge you. It's a graveyard secret. In other words, it's a secret to your success that you typically would take to the graveyard, but well, since I'm asking you so nicely, you're willing to share with our audience, what is your graveyard secret to success? Let's address the issue of turning adversity to opportunity. Why don't we start with Howie?
Favorite quote all time, Sir Ernest Shackleton, by endurance, we conquer.
By endurance, we conquer. So the message there I hear is through consistency, perseverance, life is a long journey, and so you stick it out. And in the end, you'll have some success. I like it. AJ.
Never give up. Never give up. You have to, and it's, you know, similar to what Howie is saying, but you have to.